of us. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11 and chapter 12 we're going to take as our text for the service today, although I'm going to point out that primarily we'll be looking in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27 through 47 for most of the thoughts for the message. And as you're looking at the text there, chapter 11 and 12, you can see that there are a couple of different significant lists of names. And again, as I mentioned in the last message, these names are important. They're not necessarily things that we're going to dwell on for the sake of this series, but they are important for the genealogies and for the people of God, the Israelites. And these are highly regarded, these sorts of lists of names detailing the families. And just so you understand, in chapter 11, a lot of the names that are listed are those who volunteered to move into the city of Jerusalem and to live. There was a decision that was made that 1/10 of the population needed to move from the outskirts of town into the city itself. And that would have been a great sacrifice and would have cost them a great deal to do so. But it says that they willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. And so many of their names are mentioned as they moved into the city. In chapter 11, it talks about those who were laboring in and around the temple and the walls, maintaining that which had been built. And so they had different acts of service that they were giving in that place. And then in chapter 12, we find about the Levites. And these were those who served in the house of God. And there's a list again of names and some of their responsibilities as doorkeepers and different aspects of service there in the house of the Lord. And now we come down to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, which is where I want to pick up reading this morning. And we'll make some reference to those earlier verses in chapter 11 and the early part of chapter 12 in the message. But I want to read for our text this morning, beginning in verse 27 of Nehemiah chapter 12. The Bible says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. And after them went Hoshaiah and half of the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, and Meshulam, Judah and Benjamin and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah and Azrael, Milalai, Gilalai, Mai, Nethaneel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall. And from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eleazar, and Uzi, and Jehohanan, and Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer, and the singers sang, what's the next word? And the singers sang loud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. In Nehemiah chapter 11 and 12, we find a celebration taking place. Do you know it's good to have celebrations? A fiesta, a party, an exaltation of that which God has done. I told the church months ago, if COVID ever ends, no, I didn't say if, I said when COVID ends, we're going to have a party. We're still planning on having a party. It just keeps dragging out on us here. So one of these days we're going to have a party and we're going to celebrate that it's over and that God has brought us through. It's good to celebrate that which God has done. It's good to look back with appreciation and to say God has been good to us. The people of Israel in Nehemiah 11 and 12 have accomplished a significant task. The walls have been rebuilt in under 2 months. The walls of Jerusalem, which had lain waste for over 100 years, have now been rebuilt, and the people recognize it's time to give thanks to God. I didn't plan the preaching calendar this way for this message to end up on the Sunday right after Thanksgiving, but the Lord evidently knew. And today I want to talk to you for just a few moments about a celebration of Thanksgiving. It's good for us to give thanks to the Lord. Now you'll note that their celebration came about because it was prefaced by some service to the Lord. And that's the first thought I want you to consider, that before we can really give meaningful thanks to God, we ought to be giving thanks to God with our life. We ought to be giving of ourselves to serve Him and to honor Him and to please Him. That is paying attention to His commandments and being involved in His mandates. And the people had not only rebuilt the walls at the command of God, but they also had now heard the law of God and had begun to make significant changes in their lives and in the conduct of the nation. And we see that these walls had been completed. They had been rebuilt. And then in the beginning of chapter 11, we see that they saw there was a need to bring some people into the city. And so they said, we're going to cast lots, and one out of every 10 person is going to need to move into the city. And the people were excited about it. And some of them said, we'll go. And they willingly offered themselves in this act of service. And you say, well, what was so significant about that service? Well, for them, they would have had lands outside of the city that they had developed and probably were comfortable living in, and and engaging in their business. But now they're going to move into the city of Jerusalem, parts of which are still in disrepair. They're going to move into the housing that is there, of course, with the walls just being rebuilt and with some of the attention of the enemies in the area upon Jerusalem. There could have been some danger, but there also was a need for them to go to the city of Jerusalem so that they could serve in that place. People to work the gates and open and close the gates. People to be involved in the service in the temple. People to make sure that the city was maintained. And there were people who said, we'll serve the Lord in that way. Their thanksgiving, this is the primary group of people who will give thanksgiving. Their thanksgiving was prefaced by service. Many of those who moved into the city are detailed in these lists, and they were Levites who had responsibilities in and around the temple. And I want to remind you this morning that one of the greatest demonstrations of our thanksgiving to God is the giving of our lives in grateful service to our Lord. Amen. See, it's easy for us to say, I love the Lord. I thank the Lord for all that He's done. But if we really love Him and if we really are thankful, then we ought to be willing to give our lives to please Him, to serve Him, to honor Him. You and I ought to be careful that we have more than just words of thanksgiving for the Lord. I fear that the words that many people speak fall flat because their life sends a different message. There are many who say grace over their meal and thank the Lord for the food that they've been given, but their life, the way that they live, denotes that they don't really think that it came from the Lord at all, but that what they have is what they deserve because of their efforts and their hard work. And many people struggle to have a truly appreciative heart. Let us show the appreciation that we have for the Lord in the way that we live. And I believe that that would be seen by us returning thanks to the Lord in our life by serving Him, by realistically putting Him first. If, in fact, everything that we have has been given to us by the Lord, doesn't it make sense that we ought to put His priorities in first place? If He gave us everything, why should the things that He gave us have a priority over Him? Or to put it this way, why should the gift be predominant over the giver? The Lord is the giver of the gifts, and He ought to have first place. And so as they come for this celebration, there are people who've learned something about serving the Lord, and they had returned thanks to the Lord. Now, go in your Bibles there in chapter 11. You'll see something about some of these people in verse number 16. It tells us about a couple of these men, Shebathiah and Jozabad, of the chief of the Levites. They had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. So there were things pertaining to the temple and the outward business that these men were overseeing. And they needed to be in the city for the purpose of overseeing that. A little farther down in verse number 19, it says, moreover, the porters, Akkub, Talmon, and their brethren that kept the gates were 172. So there was 172 people that were responsible for managing the 12 gates of the city and making sure that they were opened and closed at the right time and that someone was watching to make sure an enemy didn't approach. And so there's many other examples throughout Nehemiah chapter 11. These individuals who came into the city had different responsibilities, different things that they were tasked with. And they did these things as an act of thanksgiving and praise to God. Now, they moved into the city, and in chapter 12, where we began reading, is this great celebration service. And the second thing that I want you to see about their celebration of thanksgiving is not only that it was prefaced by service, but second of all, their thanksgiving was expressed with music. I want you to think for just a moment about what a gift it is that we are musical creatures. And I know some of you say, Pastor, I am not a musical creature. No, trust me, you are a musical creature. You may not carry a tune quite as well as someone else. You may not be skilled in playing an instrument, but music has a special place in the emotional makeup of human beings. God has given us the opportunity and the ability to express with music our inward emotions, our inner man. He's given us the opportunity to use music like a universal language. And I'm not talking about the words, I'm talking about the notes, the tune, the harmony, and the melody that expresses some sort of a concept. And it is a medium of expression, of being able to express thought. And here in Nehemiah chapter 12, these who came to celebrate and to give thanksgiving to God, they said, the way that we're going to celebrate and the way that we're going to give thanks is by our song. Too often, you and I are selfish about our music. We think about our music in terms of what we like and don't like. Some of you say, well, I really like that toe-tapping kind of music. And some people say, well, I kind of like that waltzing kind of music. And some of you say, well, I like that, there's other things that are called music that might not ought to be called music. Amen. That's how I feel about it. Like, I think I was driving next to a guy the other day in town, and he had his windows up, not down. And my windows were up and not down. And I still heard whatever it was that he was listening to. And I'm struggling with the concept of whether that was actually music or not. It was something that spoke to his heart. But see, we have a tendency to think about, well, what do I like? What does my generation like? What are my preferences? But music is first and foremost primarily about what does God like? What would please the Lord? What would be honoring and what would lift up his name? I think that our music ought to be a reflection of what we think about the character of God. I think that it ought to speak about how much we want to honor him. We ought to be expressing thanks to God with our music. In our hymnal, we have a small section of songs that are labeled as thankfulness. And there are the songs that we always sing this time of year. There's a handful of them, not all that many. But if you start to look at the other hymns in your hymn book, you find that most of the hymns have some sort of a basis in giving thanks and praise to God for what he has done. You go to the Psalms, which is the scriptural hymn book, and you'll find that the primary theme is praising and thanking God for his goodness. And so music expresses our thanks. We ought to be careful to express our thanks to God with music. And I think about this description here in chapter 12. It talks about these different singers and musicians. In verse 27, it says they came to this dedication to dedicate the walls with singing, with cymbals, so that would be percussion, psalteries, and with harps. And then the sons of the singers came, and they were going to do some singing. Farther down, we find there were some who played some trumpets, and they had a particular place in the song service. And I think that we could understand and probably all be on the same page that the music that they were playing and singing might have sounded a little different than the kind of music that we're accustomed to singing. And yet they had this purpose. We want to give thanks to God with our music. What you find about these singers is that their primary job was to sing to God around the temple. They practiced and they learned instruments with skill. And they did these things not so that people would say, oh, look at Asaph, look how he plays the harp, but so that people would say, praise the Lord who is worthy of praise. And I want to just interject this before we move along. We have many talented musicians in our church family, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for those who can sing, thankful for those who can play an instrument. But let's be reminded that whenever we are using the gift of music, that it is first and foremost for the Lord, that it's not to draw attention to ourselves or to get people to think that we're something special, but it really is to draw attention to the Lord. And as such, we ought to do our very best to be excellent in our music, to express our music with excellence, and to do the very best that we can, because our God is worthy of that kind of a sacrifice of praise. I remind you of Psalm 100, which is widely regarded as the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." One of the things during the large outbreak of COVID earlier in the year, when we only had live stream services, one of the things that we missed, that I missed, and maybe you missed it at your house, was all of us being able to sing together. And honestly, I still feel as if, because we're wearing masks and we're muzzled a little bit, and our ability to express and to really sing with all of our heart, I'm looking forward to the time when we can have a big bonfire with masks, and then we can come and sing some hymns to the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our enthusiasm, because there's something special about that, about expressing our thanks to God through song. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We ought to come before His presence with singing. And so they, and you, as you saw, as we read in the text, they not only sang there around the temple, but then they went up on the wall and they went two different directions, and they're singing and playing the instruments and praising God. And it's quite a musical service. They're getting excited about all that God has done. It's okay to get excited once in a while. So it's prefaced by service, expressed with music. But I want to point out to you in verse number 30 of Nehemiah chapter 12 that those who were involved in this celebration of thanksgiving were those that had purified themselves. And not only had they purified themselves, but they had purified the different instruments that they would be using. They had set them aside. And this is that truth of sanctification, that thanksgiving is best offered by those who have purified themselves. Thanksgiving and praise is an act of worship and should be offered by a sanctified people. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't thrill my heart to hear Elvis Presley sing Amazing Grace.
That's right.
I really don't think he understood much about God's grace. He lived a wicked, unregenerate type of a lifestyle. And for him to take the hymns of God upon his lips, I understand it's a popular song, and I hope I'm not making you mad by saying that. But Elvis Presley was definitely not an example of a fine, upstanding Christian. He was an ungodly man. I think that those who are going to praise God and thank God, And this would be incumbent upon us, ought to separate ourselves unto holiness. And we ought to say, you know, God deserves pure thanks and praise. I need to separate myself from sin so that I can give the kind of thanksgiving to God that He's deserving of. Thanksgiving falls short when it's offered to the Lord by people who show no real efforts to be obedient to the commands of the Lord. I think that God wants us to be obedient to Him. I think He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be separate and holy. And He wants us to give thanks, but we ought to do so with an attitude of holiness and purity, of wanting to please the Lord with the way that we are living. I wonder how often we see thanksgiving in this light and we really prepare ourselves to offer thanksgiving to the Lord. In other words, to put it this way, maybe before we give thanks, we ought to confess. Amen. Maybe there ought to be some purifying of ourselves taking place, some putting of some things on the altar, some sacrificing to say, "Lord, I'm putting that sin away from me," before we go to the place of thanksgiving and tell God how much we appreciate Him. Those who have purified themselves, though, are those who will most see the need of thanksgiving. Because you do understand this morning that you're not pure in and of yourself. That for you to live in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, you're completely dependent upon His power and His strength. And to me, this amplifies our thanksgiving. It magnifies our praise to say, "I can't clean my own life up, but praise God, there's someone who has purified me, who is at work in my life, making me like Christ." So these individuals, they they purified themselves. They purified the people. They purified the gates and the walls. They purified the instruments of the temple. And they said, we want to give thanks to God out of a pure life and a pure heart. But then I see this in chapter 12, verses 31 through 40. The celebration of Thanksgiving really involves the assembly. And it's important for you and I individually to be a thankful people, to give thanks to God. I think, Hudson, that in our personal lives, we ought to thank God a lot. I think we ought to take the opportunity to tell people how thankful we are to the Lord and all that God has done for us. I think that we ought to, in our private prayer, give thanks to God. I think that in our family prayer, we ought to give thanks to God. I think that thanksgiving and praise of God ought to be something that is familiar to our lips, that is just familiar speech to us. But let's also say that not only individually, but corporately, we ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a people that gather together to say thank God for all that He has done for us. Now, this scene in verses 31 through 40 is a group of people that are going about to dedicate the walls and the gates that have been built. And in that act of dedication and committing the city to the Lord and to His care, they're also giving thanks to God for all that He had done. And we see that this is not a small group of people. This is a large group of people, and they're going to gather on the walls. And of course, the walls are wide enough that they can actually walk on them on the top. And so they're going to come, and there's going to be a group, about half of them that are going to go one direction, and about half of them that are going to go the other direction. And the way that the city of Jerusalem is, they'd be able to walk those different directions and probably be able to hear one another as they are praising and thanking the Lord. And the whole assembly is involved in giving thanks to God. You can almost picture as they're on opposite sides of the city on the walls, and the praises of these two groups of people are mixing together in the middle as they're honoring and praising God for all that He has done. There is something that is precious and special about corporate thanksgiving. There's something about us as a people together being thankful to the Lord. Amen. I'm reminded of our service on Tuesday evening. As many of you said, I want to thank the Lord for some things that He has done. Isn't that an encouraging service? Amen. And you leave from here thinking, well, God is still alive. God is still doing things. God has been working. And I went home encouraged and thankful for all that God has done. We ought to be more proactive about our thanksgiving and giving praise to God. And as an assembly, as a church, one of the marks of the people of God is that they ought to give thanks. You look at verse 40 as these groups came together. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. So it seems like they ended up there at the temple, and there in the temple, as this entire assembly, then their focus was, we want to give thanks to the Lord. We want to give praise to God. As a people, it's a lot easier for us to complain than it is for us to give thanks. Have you noticed that? It's a lot easier for us to gripe, to talk about the things that we don't like and that we wish were different. But there's nothing that quite changes the attitude of an assembly like Thanksgiving. Let us be a kind of people that give thanks and praise to God. It involves the assembly. Number five, the celebration of Thanksgiving should be enthusiastic and joyful. You know, come ye thankful people, come. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Sometimes when we're singing, and I'll be the first to say, it's hard to be enthusiastic and joyful when you're wearing a cloth muzzle on your face. But we ought to do our very best to praise the Lord. And to be enthusiastic about our worship of the Lord. We ought to be excited about what God has done. Notice in verse 43 it says, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced," so that, notice this, "the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." People down in the valley and in the villages around said, "What is happening over at Jerusalem? What is going on over there?" Well, what was going on is that they were excited. They were rejoicing because God had done something great for them. I'm saying to you this morning, you and I ought to be enthusiastic. We ought to be joyful in our praise. Now, I understand that there's many times you may come to the song service, to the time when we're going to lift our voice and sing to the Lord, and maybe you don't feel much like singing. Maybe you're grumpy. Maybe you woke up late from your nap on Sunday afternoon. Maybe you didn't get what you wanted for lunch. Maybe the turkey was burnt on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is, but many times you might feel, "Well, I don't really feel like singing." I'm telling you that something I've noticed is that when I don't feel like singing and praising God is when I most need to give thanks to God. That's when I need to reach inside and say, "All right, it's time for a change of heart. It's time to give thanks to the Lord." There ought to be a purposeful attitude of thanksgiving. We ought to be enthusiastic and joyful. You say, "Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's ears." Sing out. Don't worry about whether you're going to hurt somebody's ears. They can move over. They can wear earplugs, whatever. I mean, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Lift up your voice. Praise God. Our worship of God ought to be enthusiastic and joyful. Did you ever go to a ball game? You have. You've gone to a ball game. What happens at a ball game? Well, the team that you're there rooting for has something happen, and the crowd goes, "Rah!" And there's a roar. And you know what? You can hear it outside the stadium, down the street, out in the parking lot. You can hear something happen. What happened? Did you ever go to a ball game and get there late and hear everybody going, "Rah!" And you're going, "What happened? What? I missed something. Man, I got to get into my seat so I can see what's going on." That is the sense of holy anticipation that we ought to provoke in other people to say, "What happened? What's going on?" Amen. God is here. God is at work in our lives. Let us be enthusiastic. Let's put a smile on our face. Let's be joyful. Now, it'll take a little preparation of heart for us to praise God and thank Him in that way. But I think that others ought to observe our worship and ought to be excited about what God is doing. And it ought to create a sense of holy anticipation in them. We ought to have that same sort of thanksgiving. So they're enthusiastic and they're joyful. Let us be enthusiastic and joyful in our praise and our thanksgiving to God. Finally, number six, the celebration of thanksgiving really resulted in satisfaction that lasted a long time. I mean, the people were just so overwhelmed with all that God had done for them. And it describes in verse 44 down through verse 47, that now at that time, they began to appoint different Levites to different tasks, to watching over the chambers, the place where the offerings that were brought in at the time of first fruits, and all of the administration of the different tithes that would be brought in and all this sort of thing. And the reason it says in verse 44 is for Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. You know what happened was, they were so excited that now the worship of God had been reestablished in Jerusalem. And now there's priests and there's Levites that are serving God, and they're going to be overseeing the sacrifices, and we're going to bring our tithes. And that's what it's describing then down through verse 47. They're bringing the tithes, and then the some of the Levites are singing and praising, and it's describing what's happening there in the temple as people are worshiping God. And this went on for a period of time. There was a lasting sense of satisfaction that said, God, who has worked in the recent past, will continue to work in the near future. God is going to be real to us, and He is worthy of our worship and our praise. The temple was established. It was serviced and maintained. The Levites and the priests were provided for, and the people saw this as a good thing. The worship of Jehovah was continued on, and the people that were around were impacted by this worship of God. Everything was in its right place. And you say, why did that happen? Well, it happened because of an attitude of thanksgiving. When there's an attitude of thanksgiving, thanksgiving brings about abundance. Now, wait a second. Some of you said, but I gave thanks and I didn't get a bigger paycheck the next week. No, that's not what I mean. Thanksgiving creates abundance in places where before all you could see was want. And it's not because there's some kind of a financial reward for thanksgiving. It's because your perspective gets changed. It's not so much that things are different. It's that you're looking at things different. I mean, you can either look at what you don't have or you can look at what you have. You might as well look at what you have and praise God for it. Amen. You might as well be thankful for how good God has been instead of crying about what you wish that you had that you don't have. You see what I'm saying? There was this attitude of satisfaction. And there's a settledness that takes place in the city of Jerusalem that is surrounding this attitude of thanksgiving. It was a celebration. Do you know, here we just came through a season that in our country we call Thanksgiving. It's traditional in our country on Thanksgiving Day to eat turkey. I don't know why we eat turkey. Do any of you eat turkey any other time of the year? Just think, I want to get this huge bird and cook it for hours and hours until it tastes like rubber and then eat it. No, most of us only do that on Thanksgiving, right? I mean, am I right about that? You say, well, maybe some of you eat some turkey some other times. Got to have cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie. And it's, you know, we have this meal. But really, Thanksgiving is more about, or it ought to be more about, giving thanks to God.
Amen.
Looking back over how God has blessed us in the last few months and saying God has been good to us, and He has been good to us. We ought to be a thankful people. Do you know that thankfulness is an underpinning of American society and culture? In our history, you'll go back and find many times when presidents made proclamations like, we ought to have a national day of thanksgiving to say thanks to God for all that He has done for us. I think that we ought to return to that place in our nation. Because thanksgiving is a good deterrent to the entitlement attitude that so easily takes us over. Because when we start to reflect on all that we've been provided with and how good God has been, it helps us then to stop complaining about all the things that we don't have. Now, the strange thing in our culture is that we have a day that we call Thanksgiving on a Thursday, and the very next day we call Black Friday. And we go to the stores to buy stuff that we wish that we had. And usually it's because we forgot that we already had two of those in the back closet. But it was on sale and it was a good deal, so I needed it. And the consumerism and the thought about, well, you don't have enough, you need more. And it's interesting how the two have been brought so closely together. I have to say one thing that I think was good this year about the pandemic was that a lot of that was muted.
Amen.
And maybe there was a little more of an emphasis on Thanksgiving, or at least there should have been. You see, it's appropriate for us as God's people to celebrate and give thanks to God for His goodness to us. He has been good to us. He's worthy of a lot more praise and thanksgiving than we give to Him. And I wonder today, if you just thought about yourself, are you a thankful person? Are you somebody that is really, really thankful and expresses that thanksgiving? I wonder, as a people, as a church, are we a thankful people? Are we grateful to God? Are we enthusiastic as we express our thankfulness to God for all that He has done? And maybe today you could think about your own life, and I realize we just came through the Thanksgiving season, but maybe today you should say, what can I thank God for today? Amen. What can I express my praise to God for today? How can you express that thanksgiving to others, even to those who may not be worshipers of God? And what impact might that have on their lives if they hear the noise of thanksgiving coming from Lehigh Valley Baptist Church? Wow, those people really think a lot of their God. They talk about how good He is all the time. That ought to be our testimony.
Amen.
We ought to be a thankful people. But the question today is, are you thankful?
Good.
And what should you give thanks for? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one's looking around. I want to ask you this morning to take a couple of minutes to thank God for some things. And then I'll